listening to Hot Talk with Jill Tracy, produced by Missy Maley on Hot 105.
That's the sound of the police.
I'm the police. Behind my badge is a heart like yours. I bleed. I think. I love.
It's never an easy ride. If you do the right thing, I will always have your back.
We are the police.
Yes, indeed. So we gave Scott Israel a little hotline bling. Actually, for those of you who may not know, that hotline bling is like the hottest thing right now. Drake has, you know, done the song, but it's a cover of Timmy Thomas's Why Can't We Live Together. And those of you who don't know, Timmy Thomas recorded that in 1972 right here in South Florida. And he had a challenging life. He had some health challenges over the years, but he has always been very faithful to people in this community. And he's a good friend of James T's. And they often go and visit with stroke victims because Timmy Thomas had a stroke. And now he has hit the mother load with Drake redoing his song. It just, you know, God is good all the time, because he could have never planned that. And just by him sampling that, it's going to really change Timmy Thomas's life. So if you're out there, Timmy Thomas, we love you, and like high five, and you know, and God love you, and hopefully we'll see you soon. I'm going to take a couple of calls right quick, because you know that music means we have Scott Israel in the building. Sheriff Scott Israel, AB on line one. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. AB, see you later. Daily on line two.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Hot Talk, Daily.
Yes, I want to say it's a great pleasure, and I thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I have been listening to this program for a while now, and this is my first time calling in on the program.
Thank you.
Because there are so much things to say, but I can't say everything tonight because I only have a limited time to be on this program.
Yes.
I just want to make a comment mm-hmm. about the President Barack Hussein Obama. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in America today, in the 21st century, and around the world, they tend to forget the things that have happened in this country. I was born in Jamaica, and one of my dreams was to come to United States of America, just because I could have gone to Canada, I could have gone to England, but my dream was to come to this country because my father had left me in Jamaica when I was 6 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 10 years old, I heard my father was dead because I heard he met an accident over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that affected me tremendously in my school life. And all I did for sport was just running. I just kept on running. I used to win races behind races. I just kept running.
Mm-hmm.
And when I became 26 years of age, I found out that my father wasn't dead.
Really? He was here in the States.
He's dead now, though. That's a whole other story.
So how old are you now, Daly?
I am 40 years old.
Okay. So I'm just going to write. I'm going to speed you up from 26 to 40. So
yes.
you were saying that to say.
I'm saying that to say, you know, over the years, I love American politics.
Uh-huh.
Because you get to speak your mind mm-hmm. about whatever subject, whatever topic there is.
Mm-hmm.
The point I'm trying to make tonight is, since I live in America, I came here in Bill Clinton era, and I've seen where Republicans have become president in this country, and every time that I can look back at history, when they are in power, there is war around the world. And I see Obama came in and become a president, and he has kept the American people safe.
Mm, okay.
And I've seen them throw so many dirt at him, and he still holds his ground, he still holds his cool.
Yeah.
And for someone to say, especially if you're a black person, not to be racist or anything of such dilemma.
Right, but you were going to say that, I think we lost you, but you were going to say that for somebody to say that he doesn't support the police, I think that's where you were going with that, would be disingenuous to his legacy. And with that, let's just, Tracy, you want to make a comment right quick? I don't want to leave you on hold.
How you doing, Jill?
Good, how are you?
Very well. Yes, you know, I want to say one thing is you're definitely an inspiration, and I listen to you on Sunday night, and I
Thank
wish
you.
For some reason you would be on at prime time. So
we well, from your mouth to God's ears.
I know, man. But, you know, this is just very simple. I mean, you know, I understand the Cory Booker situation and these black
Jones.
Lives and that Christie thing. Like, I sort of had an affirmation in my heart for him, but after hearing his statement, it just sort of rubbed me the wrong way because it almost puts you in a position to say that these politicians will say whatever
Anything.
They need to do. Because I noticed also that all of a sudden now he started trending. I mean, I've seen him talk, and I know he's been on Jimmy Kimmel and various places. And I said, you know, I had an affirmation. I mean, I would be torn between him and another candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But now it sort of puts me in a position to say, you know, it's not right, but yet we will do anything to get votes. And I
right.
think the public, I mean, how do we unite us as African Americans or just people so we can pull our power to be able to have some kind of structure, even if we, you know, with the Cory Booker situation. And
Jones,
I understand.
Y'all are trying to put Cory Booker in the grave. God forgive you. It's Cory Jones.
Not Cory Booker. Cory Booker's the.
Right.
We don't want him trying
no.
to. Not Cory Booker. But, you know, it just sort of gets me that how can we unite? I mean, like, what? Because I every time I hear your program, I'm going home, I'm writing something, I'm thinking about something. And yet, you know, it always seems somehow like the next day or the day after, like you feel like you have nowhere to reach out to sort of bring this unitedness together.
Right.
Because, you know, it's a tough situation. And, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know how it happened. And, you know, I do an after-school program for at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
I teach and try to mentor them to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we had spoke to them about mostly was trying to, like, you know, let them understand what their rights were.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when stopped by the police or anything, the first
right.
thing that they should try to do is diffuse that situation, not say a word, not see anything. And what we were trying to, you know, sort of simulate was to be able to, you know, find us a 1-800, you know, law firm that we can give to all African Americans. So if you're stopped, there should be
yeah.
a hotline. They can literally just call.
Well, it's interesting that you would say that. Thank you so much for your call, because Edwin Ferguson, attorney Edwin Ferguson, is here from the Ferguson Group. How are you?
See, I'm doing well, Jill. How are you today?
Good. And we're going to talk to him about exactly what you're talking about. He has an event coming up, and I expect it to be standing room only in there. But first, I want to turn over to Sheriff Scott Israel. And he, you know, I want to continue on that line of conversation. What were your thoughts? I don't know if you heard Chris Christie this morning, but, you know, as you heard it tonight, what are your thoughts around his comments about President Obama never supported the police?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's great to be here again, Jill.
Yes, always good to see you.
It was just as the last caller said, a politician posturing to be noticed. I think he feels he's losing ground. And I've said this all along. Politicians need to make decisions based on helping those who got them elected, not getting reelected or getting
yeah.
elected for the first time. I haven't seen any President Obama ever make any decision or do anything that was anti-police. Haven't noticed and haven't seen it. I completely, you know, disagree with that. And moreover, I thought, you know, to portray a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people in all walks of life that are antagonistic, that want to, you know, stir the pot and want to, you know, create violence. But the whole organization, the whole group, I mean, they stand for being noticed. I think a lot of the black community feels disenfranchised, and I think they want to make sure that there's a connectivity, and I support that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, they're definitely, you know, the root of that, the Black Lives Matter, actually, the beginnings of it started when Trayvon was killed, and it just started to grow. And yes, as you say, at the root of that hashtag Black Lives Matters, the fact that it has to be stated at all, just bespeaks of a level, like our last caller just said, a level of frustration with how did this happen and what do we do now? And I think now that I've heard everybody describe Corey Jones's death, you know, as unfortunate, something that happens in the line of duty to this is our Ferguson. And so, you know, before the hyperpole gets completely out of control, I'm glad that we had a chance to talk because we've mentioned several times when you're here. As a matter of fact, there was a young lady, she's going to come next month, that is doing a nonprofit. And I was telling her about the show and she said, well, Scott Israel has done so much for our program. And I was like, but she didn't even know you were coming on. Mm. And I told her, I was like, you know, that's one of the things, that's one of his very strong points as sheriff, is that he really believes in being a part of his community and being proactive at all times. And because of that, this type of thing has not happened on your watch. Now, it could be, it has been argued over this, you know, over my research, that he just has gotten lucky that it hasn't happened on, you know, in his watch. And I want to believe that that's not true. I want to believe that because the Broward County Sheriff's Office is really going the extra mile to be involved in the community, that you are creating relationships. And because of that, there is a tone of respect.
Well, I've always believed that the luckiest people in the world are the hardest working. And I believe good luck favors those that are prepared. Yeah, you know, God has blessed us. Rather than say lucky, God has blessed us. But there's a reason that I'm out all over this county. We want to be seen. We want to partner with the community. And, you know, Jill, there are two things with the Corey Jones shooting that I need to impart today to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is when incidents like this happen, the first thing I would do is get the largest venue close to where the incident happened at, a school, a church, a temple, a library, an auditorium, and you have to feed the beast, so to speak. You have to bring the community together and let the community know what happened. You have to answer the tough questions.
Why is it that it is taking, so we're a week away now. Why? I mean, you can't say, and I apologize for putting you on the spot like that, but on what circumstances would make it take this long to have that conversation with the public?
Well, I don't know. I don't really know any more about that shooting than anyone else.
I mean, but in general police work.
I could only assume that there are things that happen that they don't want to impart that's going to be part of the investigation, but that's okay. But there are a lot of things you can tell the community. And when you don't bring your community together and give them information that's very necessary, people are going to form their own stories. And that's how rumors get started.
And judgments.
Then you're dealing in judgments. And you have to put out the facts as soon as you can, because you want to make sure that the community has a trust. If the community doesn't trust you, then, you know, you're going to have more, you know, more heck than a little. And that's what it's about.
Yeah. All bets are off. Okay, so let me ask you something. The plainclothes officer is in an unmarked 15-passenger van, and he sees Corey on the side of the road. What is proper protocol in that situation?
I'm going to answer that. But before I do, that's why over the last 3 or 4 months, myself and Colonel Pollock and my command staff have been going around talking to pastors and clergy and community leaders and getting the community together to go over to the county commission and city commissions and say, this will be my legacy to this county. Give Sheriff Israel the money he needs to make sure every deputy in this county has a body camera. the community, myself, and everyone else deserves to see exactly what happened out there. We want to see that, and that's the main thing. Give the deputies body cameras and a lot of these questions and a lot of these, you know, jumps to conclusion won't happen. Mm-hmm. You have that NFL instant replay. But here's the onus, Jill, will always be on the plainclothes officer, whether he's dealing with a uniformed officer who doesn't know he's a uniformed officer or a private citizen. The onus is on the plainclothes officer to make sure everyone knows who he or she is, not the citizen, not the other police officer.
Right.
So if you're a plainclothes officer and maybe you want to go, and I don't know what happened out there, so I'm not talking about, you know, the tragedy.
Yeah, I'm just asking what would be protocol in that situation.
Protocol would be you'd pull over to the side of the road, you'd put your lights on, your sirens on, so everybody coming and the people that knew that you're help. You're the good guy. Mm-hmm. You're coming to assist. You might get on a loudspeaker. You might ask if everything's okay. You might ask the person to step back to your vehicle. Mm-hmm. You make sure you want to identify yourself. You want to make sure your badge is either around your neck or on your belt and it's well lit.
Somewhere visible.
And as you go up, the first thing you want to say is, I think it was Palm Beach Gardens Police, Palm Beach Sheriff's Deputies, Broward Sheriff. It's incumbent upon you to make sure that, because if the person thinks you're going to hurt them, you know, and I was listening to a call about saying about why didn't Mr. Jones have, you know, spend $600 on fixing his car rather than a firearm. He's an American citizen. He had the right to spend his money on anything he wanted to.
Right.
And if he wanted to have a firearm for his own for protection or anything else, he had every right to do that.
Right.
So now I'm not saying.
And he had car trouble. It wasn't like, and he was driving a Santa Fe, so there's no telling what happened.
Exactly right. It's just an absolute tragedy. I really don't know much, but I know it is incumbent upon plainclothes police to let us know. That's why I always tell people, you know, especially when I go to women's groups and women will say, what do I do when a plainclothes vehicle, an unmarked vehicle, puts their lights on and tries to pull us over?
Right.
And I say, don't break any traffic rules, but if you're scared, don't pull over. Keep driving at a normal rate of speed, pull to a well-lit area, a parking lot, and get on your cell phone and call out dispatch and say, I'm at the corner of Maple and Elm, about to be pulled over. Is that the police? And the dispatcher will tell you.
Yeah, because I got pulled over, and it was plain clothes. And I was like, okay, I was going to turn my car parallel in the middle of the street and just leave it there. I was going to block traffic. Because now, I have to tell you, I am afraid to stop for plain clothes, anything. And that has never happened in my lifetime that I really am afraid of what could happen to me if I get stopped by the police.
Yeah, it's, you know, we work every day to gain the community's trust. And it just seems every time we take two steps forward, something happens.
To put us
three steps back.
Because do you all, you obviously have a good working relationship and program happening with your offices and with Broward County. Do you share that information, you know, what you're doing? Do other municipalities say, hey, listen, you seem to be having a good track record with what's going on there. What can you offer us that, you know, we can lower some of the incidences that we're having between the police and our inner city communities?
Not, to be honest with you, not that much. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to seem to stay in their own lane and stuff like that. So, but, you know, we're there to help anyone. We're working, you know, with Flock and things like that. And I know that's for another night. We have, you know, very important things to talk about. But we've done these seminars, and I don't stay only in the contract cities. I'll go anywhere in Broward County.
So you do seminars where you go out.
Oh, yes.
888-550-9105 if you want to join us in the conversation, if you have questions for Sheriff Israel. And now also joining us tonight is State Representative Shervin Jones, who is also a friend of the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jill?
I'm good. So now let's pick up from where you and the black legislators have come in. Now, was it on Thursday or Friday that you went to see Governor Scott?
On Thursday.
Okay. So now share with the listeners exactly what happened. with the black legislators going to Tallahassee?
Well, first, thank you, Jill, for having me on again.
Thank you, as always.
Thursday, once all the information started rolling in, myself, the chair of the Black Caucus, Representative Narain, and Representative Bobby Powell from out of Palm Beach, we met, and we felt that the best thing for us to do at this time at that time was to figure out what was the best route for us to go to make sure that this did not get swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we said, well, we did not want this to turn into a long, drawn-out fight. So we said maybe we should send help their way. We had seen if the governor would order the FDLE to get involved with the case, mm-hmm. not knowing that at that time the Palm Beach Sheriff's Department could not enact that unless ordered by the governor. So we had to ask the governor, can he do that? And we did that. We asked the governor, can he move in? The governor did not move at that time, but once we did the press conference where we get all the legislators together, mm-hmm. the black legislators together, the governor did move in and with the FDLE.
So was it because of the added element of the cameras that he finally moved?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if that was the reason why he moved, but I would say that he started getting a lot of phone calls from a lot of our constituents. We did move to social media and ask our constituents and our following bases to call. So I think that was a bit of the impetus behind it.
You feel like that was a greater impetus than the television cameras. Okay, so now how does that... I had someone ask me a very simple question. Where does justice come from in this? There is no justice for the dead. And there is... That's a very true statement. But when we, walk through this tragedy this time... Now, I know, now the governor has asked the FDLE to come in, but the state attorney... Now, help me with that part. Does the state attorney have to be the one to bring the charges, or how does that work?
No, everyone can do an independent investigation of their own. I know state attorney Dave Ehrenberg, they're doing an investigation. And to my understanding, the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office is still doing their investigation. They did ask the FBI to come on board also.
I know all of these different
moving parts are happening at this time. But to my understanding, I do believe that the state attorney can come in with their own ruling and move at the same time. At the same time while all of this is moving. And I know we have an attorney that's here also.
Edwin will be chiming in on that. But what I'm trying to find out, and both of you, I would like to know. Okay, it's we need to know from the officer what happened. So, and now we need to have all of these law enforcement agencies get, what are we trying to get other than the truth from him? Why does it take so many people to get the truth from this one officer?
Let me go back to your one original question when you asked about justice being served.
Right.
And there is no justice for the dead. But there, we can prevail in as far as policy is concerned, and how does that look to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again? For instance, the sheriff just shared what they do in Broward Sheriff's Office. And if everyone's not doing that to ensure that this does not happen again, then this falls on deaf ears, and that's where justice is not served, because now you're waiting for the next accident to happen.
Right.
So what needs to happen is what Sheriff Israel is doing, making sure that we're being proactive in the interim to make sure things like this doesn't happen again.
Right. All right, and coming up on the other side, we're going to talk to Edwin, Attorney Edwin Ferguson, about knowing your rights and how do we walk through this process of making sure that Corey Jones does not die in vain, and we learn from this experience. This is Hot Talk.
Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live, always local. Produced by Missy Bailey.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a 1930s gangster using...